8, 2014. You are looking live at New York, New York. This is episode 440 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on Sports on Earth. I am Will Leach, and I think you're spending part of your day with me. I'm in New York City for the week. The first time I've been able to get back in about, sheesh, it's been since April, I think, March or April. So I have had the same woman cut my hair for 11 years. And I've had the same haircut for 11 years. I don't remember what I told her originally how to cut my hair, but since then I've said nothing more than shorter, or maybe not as short this time, and she has cut it the exact same way for 11 years. Now, my wife just had our second son, Wynn Anderson Leach, and he's very cute. He's getting better at sleeping. We're very happy. Thank you for asking. So I've been able to get back to New York because I've been, dealing with having the newborn and dealing with having a wife in a late stage pregnancy. So I've been able to go to New York, for my usual, take care of business. Sports and Earth is based there. New York Magazine is based there. All sorts of businesses going on there. I typically have to get back every few months or so. But I've been there in like 6 or 7 months. So my hair, because I haven't got somebody new in Athens to cut my hair looks insane. It is, it's difficult to, I've had to do a couple of TV appearances. And I basically had to lacquer it into submission. It's embarrassing and humiliating. And I'm finally getting it cut today. So this has been your 65-second Will Leach haircut update. So I'll be there all week, not just to get my haircut, but also for the thing. So I'm excited to be back in New York. I miss it so much that I'm really happy when I leave. That's the best part about leaving New York, is when you go to visit, it's totally great, because at the end of it, you get to leave. Anyway, my guest this week is Emma Spann. She is a senior editor for baseball at Sports Illustrated and author of the book 90% of the Game is Half Mental. She is also, of course, my former colleague at Sports on Earth. She left us a couple of months ago, to work for SI. We are struggling to move on, but nevertheless plodding forward without her. But she is kicking ass over there, and she's Emma, and she's great. So we're gonna chat all sorts of baseball stuff for you. We're probably gonna do a couple college football podcasts after this one. So this is your last baseball podcast, probably until we start previewing the playoffs. So here's Emma, and of course we'll have trivia afterwards. After we do that, I've noticed now that these podcasts are going weekly, the intros are getting somehow longer, even though I'm not doing the death of the day. Anyway, I'll try to work on that. All right. So hey, time for Emma. Hello, Emma. Do you miss us? Do you miss us, right? You miss us.
I do miss you, and more broadly, I miss the internet.
Yeah, I'm curious. What I don't, I know that I have a general vague sense of what you're doing over there, but you don't have to give any state secrets. You don't have to let me know I have to take all the ethnic slurs or the Deitch's stuff or something. But I know he doesn't do that. I'm just kidding. What are you doing over there? What are you settled in? What's going on?
I'm settling in. I'm still getting there. I'm doing some web stuff, but mostly I am working on the magazine side, on the print side. So just organizing and editing their baseball content and other stories as well. I just edited a 6,000-word piece about rodeo cowboys. So that was fun. But it is very different than, you have to cut words for no other reason than it has to fit in the page. And, everything takes 8 times as long. It's good, too, because we have fact-checkers and copy editors and those people are amazing, and I love them. But it's definitely an adjustment.
And certainly, it is strange because, I know that I feel like there's all these different levels of I'm sorry, I just about said the word content. I actually stopped myself before I said the word content. I was almost to say it, and for that I apologize to me and everyone in my field. But there's so many different levels of stories and columns and so on, and different paces, from a blog all the way up to even, I guarantee you, the Paris Review thinks you guys are crazy speedy.
Yeah,
over there. So of all those levels, do you like this more? Would you like to eventually get back into the fat? Do you miss the fast stuff, or you kind of have a relief to maybe take a step away?
Well, it depends on the day, really. It depends on also the deadlines in print. Those are not forgiving deadlines. You gotta right. You gotta make that, or else that's kind of stressful. But I do miss it. I miss Sports on Earth. I miss my my friends over there. Not you so much, but you know, other people.
Understood. I said, of course, of course.
But no, but yeah, I'm liking it. I'm settling in, and it's. I think it's gonna be fun.
Is it now? You go. You went in the office every day for Sports on Earth, but is it?
I was. I was.
Is the commute's a little. You guys are based in Midtown, right?
Yeah, Sports. Yeah, Sports Time was down in Chelsea, and now we're up in the Time Life building.
Yeah, because I never worked in. I think I worked in Midtown when I first got to New York, and that's the only time I was ever there. And the main problem I always have with living in Midtown is it makes the act of going out to lunch stressful. Because like even like never mind choosing where you're going to go, but the idea like there's actually just because you're in Times Square, the idea of going to lunch is so efficient that everyone knows the rules of how to do it. And if I like take a moment to decide, I'm holding it's like the butterfly effect. I'm holding up like I'm like costing American businesses like billions of dollars.
No, that's true. I would glare at you. It's not. I don't mind that so much. The problem is going to be Christmas. We're working right across from Rockefeller Center.
Oh, yeah.
I used to work nearby at the Daily, and it's just the entire month of December. It's horrible. I've never come closer to assaulting anybody than I did when like trying to get to work, like the day after the tree lighting.
Yeah.
It's gonna be ugly.
Yeah, that was our first son was born the day before Thanksgiving, right across the street from the Macy's parade.
Oh, good.
So yeah, so I was glad that we were locked inside and not able to move because one thing I've living in Brooklyn so long, I felt like I'd almost kind of hidden from that. For so long, and now that I'm Athens, like now I feel like Brooklyn was just crazy. It was just too much business and so on. So I'm sure eventually I'll just move to the desert somewhere and be like, wow, Athens was crazy, fast paced. all right, so I want to talk to you about a few things baseball related. First thing I have to ask you, you know, you are I consider you sort of the poet laureate of La Russa hate, and which is an actual presidential designation. Do you, I'm curious, what did you see his speech today?
I did see his speech today.
What did you think?
I was all set to make fun of him for going so long, but then Joe Torre came on and spoke for like 4.5 hours, so that kind of ruined that plan. No, he always, his speech was fine. He did, you know, the thing that La Russa does, and I have to say for the listeners who don't know, my intense annoyance with La Russa comes from a place of respect.
Mm-hmm.
If he wasn't so good, I would not hate him. So I do, you know, he absolutely deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. There's
nobody hates
that.
Jim Essien.
Yeah, no, he 100% deserves all the accolades and honors, and he is so annoying. But you know, he was fun. He does that thing. It's like, you know, he does like it's like coach speak where I'll talk about the three T's. It was, you know, I don't know, tradition. That wasn't tradition. It was
toughness
tenacity
to get,
and toughness and something, some other T. I've always hated that stuff. It reminds me of, like, you know, like the middle school gym teacher who would try to get you to, like, you know, play volleyball better. It was, but it obviously worked for him. So, you know, I mean, I do tip my cap. He deserves all the praise he got this weekend.
You know, it's one of the things about La Russa that I find fascinating, and I wonder if this is just kind of the way that humanity works, is, you know, when La Russa came in, he was this young, we would call him a disruptor. Now, you know, he was this young, different guy doing it, like doing things differently than what everyone else was doing, and all the traditionalists hated him when he came in, and like, and now, you know, once people get old, they just all become like he is like the definition of traditionalism in a lot of ways, and it's very weird to see. Like, I'm a little worried about this because so you and I both kind of came up in the world of online writing and you know as the punks, you know, and
yeah.
as I can't believe this. This Murray Chass, and I can't believe this Bill Plaschke, and so on. But I'm a little worried that I may already actually be this person. but I'm a little worried. I hope we don't become like I you know, I'm a Cardinal fan, obviously, so I will always have a soft spot for La Russa as much as and. But I'll have you know that like watching him every day, even when he's doing things for the team that you like, is his own different kind of annoyance. Because you
yeah.
start, it's the same way. Like by the end, I always wonder if he hadn't have won that last World Series. Like, I don't, certainly the Cardinals don't retire his number. And he's certainly not like this revered figure that he kind of, he was almost like begrudgingly revered.
Right,
if that makes sense.
Right. That's not how I feel. I mean, you know, I begrudgingly admire him.
Yeah. And, but, yeah, because it's funny because, like, you know, by the end, it was like a marriage that had gone on too long. Like, we were a little tired of him. We were I went to a Cardinals Cubs series in August of 2011 when the Cardinals were like 9 games back and they just traded Rasmus for nobody, and everyone was so furious with La Russa, and I was just like, I can't wait for this guy to get away. I just can't wait for that. I can't wait for that to have like a new manager who's just, I don't care if he's bad, he's just not Tony. It's just exhausting after a while. And then he wins the World Series. We're like, never mind. We love you. Which I guess is I guess that's the point. I guess that's the way it works.
Torrey, with Joe Torrey too. Any manager, managers do not have a very long lifespan in general. I mean, those guys lasted much longer than almost anyone else could have without annoying the hell out of everyone. And I love Joe Torrey, and he gave me many amazing memories growing up. But, by the end, you were like, really, that's what you're going to do with the bullpen?
Yeah.
I mean, La Russa, I mean, I don't know. The thing about La Russa is that it really kind of shows you just how little you have to do in the baseball establishment to be considered, like, groundbreaking and innovative. Like, because everyone does the same things, like, within a tiny amount of variation. Tiny. So, like, when you just know, like, bat the pitcher eighth, like, everyone freaks out. Like, it's the craziest thing that anyone's ever heard of. And I appreciate that he would innovate and try different things. I mean, I think that makes the game more fun. But it just doesn't take much in baseball. Yeah. To be considered like, whoa, what a wild card.
Yeah, particularly when it's like, when it comes to managers, because we certainly see now that managers can really only do. So I always feel like managers really can only, I would say, I'm curious your thoughts on this, 80% of what managers can do is negative.
Huh.
Like, I feel like the ideal manager, like, just doesn't screw up.
Right.
Like, the idea that, like, they can do something to make their team win seems to me like that's just not the way it works.
Well, it's not, I think, you can't quantify leadership, but I do believe that it matters. We've all had bosses that we couldn't stand and that made it hard to get work done and that, put us in bad moods where we weren't trying that hard. I mean, like, that kind of thing, I think, does matter, but you'll never be able to put a number on it. As far as actual technical moves, there's just not that much variation, and a lot of it is luck, and I think that, like, the difference between the best Major League manager and the worst Major League manager is no more than a handful of games over the course of a season. But that handful of games could be the difference in a pennant race. And in the postseason, it could be the difference, in winning a World Series. So it's not that it doesn't matter. It's just that there's only so much that they can do.
What did you think, following the Yankees for so long, seeing Torrey today? I mean, does he give you, like, when you think of the warm thoughts ranking system, and there's one, I'm sure there is, of Yankee people, like where is he on the... Bernie Williams, Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera, Jorge Posada axis?
He's very high. I mean, he's probably only below Mariano. And he just, he's never... What has he ever done? Like, I mean, he went in with La Russa and Cox, and both of those guys absolutely deserve to go in. But, Cox had the domestic violence allegation,
yes.
And La Russa had the drunk driving thing. And, as far as I know, Joe Torre's, like, never done anything that, would make you think badly of him, except for, bullpen management. But I mean, like, in a larger sense. He just seems, I've never heard anyone say anything bad about the guy. I've never had a bad experience with the guy. When I was, he was there when I, shortly after I became a baseball fan, and he was still there when I started covering the team, which was interesting. I used to, when I was a teenager, I would, when my dad and I would argue, I would tell him I wish Joe Torre was my father, which he still gives me crap about. But then, years later, you go, and interview him, and he was always gracious. And, not that being, being good with the media, I realize that no one who's not media cares about that, and nor should they. But just, he didn't tarnish my image of him ever. It was good to see him, and even though he did talk for a very long time, but he earned it. That's fine.
I can say with 99% certainty that no Cardinal fan has ever said, I wish Tony La Russa was my dad. I'm pretty comfortable in saying
yeah.
that. If just because you'd never get to eat meat, first off, like, that would be a problem.
Well, there's that.
And there'd be I guess all the dogs would be great. That would actually be the best part of having Tony La Russa. That there would be dogs everywhere.
He has, I think, nine cats.
Yeah,
something like that. But that's, I mean, that's fun.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny that as someone that loves dogs, I always wonder how that works, because you know, you are a famous dog. I would say famous dog lover. I consider you someone.
It's,
if you know,
overstating it a little bit.
If
but,
you know Emma
yes,
Span, you know that you love dogs. If you don't know Emma Span, you're like, does this person love dogs? Let me meet her. And you're like, oh yes, she loves dogs. I've just met her. So and La Russa is. Sometimes I think almost over the top with his love for dogs a little bit, and so there's that. That's something you guys could bond over.
No, yeah. If we ever find ourselves like at the same event, which is I would say unlikely, but we could absolutely bond over our dog stories. I think that would probably be the best possible conversational tack. I would talk to him about dogs and try to not talk about anything I've written about him over the years.
And, you know, it's funny, this being a Hall of Fame weekend and all, because, you know, this was after the ugliness of last year where, like, no one gets in and everyone's scowling and everything. This was the, oh, look how much happiness there is. Not only were there all these people that came in, but it was the three players that got in. Not only were all great, but they were all quite defiantly, oh, don't worry, these aren't PED people. And I felt like that was, and we saw kind of just how far I think the Hall was willing to go with that, with their move this week to reduce the number of years of people on the ballot from 15 to 10. Now, I'm cynical about this stuff. Actually, I'm not. I'm not really cynical about anything, but I'm skeptical of their notion on this, that it seems pretty obvious to me that this group that I think has been, you know, Joe Posnanski wrote a great piece a few years ago where was made pretty clear in the interview with, I think it was Adelson, is that the guy's name, that runs the Hall, that he would love it if there were never any PED people in the Hall of Fame at all. And to me, I think that's pretty clear, clearly what they're trying to do with this.
It seems like it. I mean, the problem is for me is that this doesn't only affect those guys, but it affects guys like Edgar Martinez and Tim Raines, who are going to get, you know, screwed by this change because they're not grandfathered in for whatever reason. So they're, you know, they're not really going to get a look, and I think it really hurts their cases, which stinks. I think in general, I mean, it is true that, look, 10 years is a long time to consider someone, and if, you know, and then they go to the Veterans Committee, I think in general that's fine, but to change the rules like this right now, I agree, it's, you know, they have such a backlog already of worthy guys who aren't in, and it's just going to make that worse and give fewer of those guys a shot.
If they really wanted to change the rules but didn't care about making it specifically about PEDs, they would say, okay, everyone from now on when they enter has 10 years, but for now it's 15.
Yes.
But instead they specifically picked these three guys who all, of course, never have anything to do with PEDs, as far as we know, again. But I'd love to see – I'm still waiting for Thomas Boswell to tell us who the Hall of Famer is that he saw doing PEDs. This would be a wonderful time for it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's more than one. I mean,
no, I know, but like Boswell famously says, he's seen a Hall of Famer do PEDs. This would be a wonderful time because to bust that myth that there's no one in the Hall of Fame that's ever done this, I think like that at this point that may be the only way to be able to turn people around on that.
No, there's absolutely, well, I don't know about absolutely, but I would be surprised if there were not multiple people in the Hall who had used PEDs. And you know, there's just never going to be a perfect solution to this. Like, we're never going to know exactly who everyone was. We have to make some kind of peace with that and muddle through.
Do you want Bonds and Clemens in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, I understand when people don't. I can understand the other side. It's not, you know, black and white to me. But for me, you know, that's probably the best hitter, certainly the best hitter I've ever seen, and one of the best hitters I've ever seen. And for them to not be in, it's just weird to me. Like, I would rather have them in, you know, if you want to put an asterisk on, put an asterisk on. But, you know, these are guys who were so good that I find it hard to believe that they wouldn't have been Hall of Fame level, you know, whether they took anything or not.
Yeah, and it's funny to me, you know, I lived in New York for 14 years. Have you been to Cooperstown?
I have.
When did you go?
I went maybe, oh gosh, it was probably like 2006, 2007, somewhere in there. I went in the middle of winter and there were like 4 feet of snow on the ground. But I love the museum, and to me, the best part of the Hall of Fame is always going to be the museum, where they can just, you know, because it's not only about honoring people, they can just, you know, throw it all in there and tell you what happened and let you decide about it.
Yeah, because I feel bad about this, that, like, you know, so when I first moved to New York, I mean, the fact that I was within a train or bus ride of Cooperstown was something that was exciting to me. Like, I was really, like, I thought this, I mean, it wasn't the only reason I was in New York or even in the top 15, but certainly it was exciting to me that I could get to Cooperstown and, like, it would be something I could conceivably do. I could rent a car and I could be there in however long it takes. And now I don't, I have to say, I, to me, I'm, it's, this was another step in a, you know what, this place just is starting to really just not feel particularly relevant anymore. And I'm sad to say that on a weekend where all these baseball luminaries and three extremely likable guys, players-wise, not manager-wise, all get in the Hall of Fame, this is something I should be happy about. And really, I was just like, you know what? If you guys are just going to be baby boomer aging dicks about this, then forget it. Like I mean, to me, because basically it feels a little bit like, regardless of whether you think the PED guys should be in or should not, it feels a little pulling up the ladder. Like, it feels like maybe our generation, once we kind of wrestle with this, and I say this our generation as if I'm not getting as old as anybody else's, but I feel like our generation should get a chance to reckon with this, and I feel like they're not even giving us the chance to do so.
I don't know. I think, look, any institution, especially any, you know, old, big, respected institution is going to have its issues, and the Hall of Fame certainly does. It still means something to me. It's far from perfect, but, you know, I thought today was nice. I enjoyed going there. I think, you know, it's a celebration of baseball, and that I still enjoy that. But, yeah, it's you know, it is certainly this kind of crusty institution in a lot of ways, and I do think that things will change as more and more people from, you know, our age group get the vote and get involved and all that. But yeah, so I don't feel that it's irrelevant, but I understand the concerns, and it is, you know, there's only how many times do we have to have these same arguments? It's you just get so sick of it. I want to talk about which player is better, not the whole PED thing all over again forever.
Yeah, and all told, you know, I mean, the fact is I would still probably go. If I had the chance, it would still be really cool to go. And I might be the guy that just sat and stared at David Freeze's spikes for his shirt, the jersey, for over and over, but that's okay. I want to talk to you about the Yankees and actually the AL East, because it feels like, I love our Jonathan Bernhardt, Sports on Earth, is a, you know, an Orioles guy, and Tom Skoka, who from Gawker wrote from Deadspin at the time and now at Gawker, wrote a wonderful piece the beginning of the season where the Orioles got good, but it looked like they were never going to be good, and just talking about, like, how, you know, it was kind of this wonderful, like, little piece about how cheering for teams for a long time that aren't any good, it's fortifying in a lot of ways, and you just look for any chance for them to matter. I'm oversimplifying his point by, like, a lot, but I still find a team. I find myself still kind of rooting for the Orioles. That's a team that I feel like baseball is better if the Orioles are playing in the playoffs.
Yeah, look, I mean, they are due for some success. Absolutely, I think the Yankees are in a really weird spot right now because they're one game out of the second wild card spot. So they kind of have to go for it, but they're not a good team this year. Like, they're really not. They're now 4 games over .500. But when you look at their, like, Pythagorean record, you know, they've been outscored. They should be like 48 and 50, you know, 48 wins, and they're just. I mean, look at that pitching rotation and what's left of it. Like, you know, they got McCarthy, which will help, but it's like McCarthy and Kuroda and four interchangeable white guys you've never heard of and couldn't pick out of a lineup. I guess they have to go for it because they're so close. They're right there in the race. But I really would be shocked if they actually did anything. So I don't know. I mean, I'm almost tempted to say that they should, you know, throw in the towel and plan for the future, but you can't really when you're, you know, when you're that close.
But I feel like the Tanaka signing was a, you know what, we're just never building for the future. Like, once they went over the 189 thing, it's like, you know what, I don't believe you ever again. You need to go for a World Series title every year, no matter
what. When I say building for the future, I don't mean, like, you know, Astros style. I mean, like, okay, maybe this isn't our year. Let's get some useful pieces and you know, trade who we can trade, that kind of thing. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, and the Angels, I think, have a significant lead on them for the wild card. But Toronto's right ahead of them, and it's not like Toronto or the Orioles are, you know, insurmountable. Neither of those is that great a team. I thought it was going to be the Red Sox this year, and That's obviously not the case.
Yeah, my Boston Texas ALCS prediction is not looking so good.
That's probably going to be a stretch. Of course, I thought that the Toronto was going to, you know, was going to win the division last year. So what do any of us know? But no, they're not. You know, the AL East is shockingly weak, considering that, you know, when I was growing up, it was such a powerhouse all the time.
Well, it's weird because when I look at that division. And maybe it's because I just saw them wipe out the Cardinals pretty definitively for two games. It just seems like the Rays are just obviously the best team in the division. They're just too far back.
Yeah, and, you know, it's as they say, it's not the distance, it's the traffic.
Yeah,
like they're,
right.
They're not, I think they're only, probably like, what, like 4 or 5 games out of the wild card
spot.
Yeah,
but like six teams, yeah.
Right, but there's like, you know, six teams ahead of them. So, you know, that's a stretch, although I do think... You know, they could do it. None of, you know, who's, you know, the Yankees, Seattle, the Royals, the Indians. Like, none of these teams are Goliaths, you know?
Well, it's funny. The best two teams that seem to be the A's and the Angels, which is like, to me, like, you know, Sheehan talked about this in the podcast a couple weeks ago about how this is the thing that he didn't like about the second wild card, was the idea that the A's and the Angels could be fighting tooth and nail down to the very end to try to win the division. Meanwhile, Seattle could like set it up where if they can win a few games, get ahead a few games, win the second wild card, they can set it up to where Felix pitches that game.
Right. No, that's a fair point. I mean, I'm kind of on the fence about second wild card. I do think it's good that, you know, cities like Kansas and Seattle can feel like they're, you know, in it and are still in it and have something to play for. Yeah, that is fun. On the other hand, yeah, there's a lot of teams that are basically quite mediocre that are sort of forced to go for it because they're within shooting distance.
Do you, I feel, going back to the Yankees for a second, do you, I feel like that this is like the next, and it could, this is just like last year. They were terrible last year too, and they were still kind of hanging around. Is that Girardi? Like, what is that?
You know, it's interesting. I think you got to give Girardi some credit. I think he's, you know, he's a good manager. I don't always agree with his moves, but he at least always has a, like, semi-intelligent reason for them. Like, he's not just kind of doing things willy-nilly. I think he's, you know, good at using his bullpen. They have a good bullpen. That's part of it. Part of it's luck. I mean, I think they are going to kind of come back to earth as, you know, odds are that luck will kind of wear off. But, yeah, no, I do give Girardi some credit. And I think, you know, and look at the team that plays hard. They're not, you know, they never threw in the towel. They have not given up. I've given up on them, but they haven't given up. Which is admirable. Girardi, I think, you know, he's not perfect, but I think he's done a really good job with that team and done it very quietly with relatively little fanfare.
Which is weird, right? Like, it's weird that, like, like the manager of the Yankees, who has brought them, I think, to help bring them anyway, along with luck and random whatever, has helped bring them to much better records than that they ever should have. It's weird that it feels like he's doing it under the radar. Like, I feel like no one talks about
it. He's not taking them to the World Series, right? He's making them better than they should be, but better than they should be is, like, on the edge of contention.
Yeah.
These are teams that, I think Brian Cashman's a really smart guy, but, man, the last few years have kind of been a mess.
Just because no one's brought him up for a while, I'm curious, do you think A-Rod will play for the Yankees next year?
I kind of do, which could be hilarious. I mean, I don't know, you know, I guess they could... You know, they could buy him out and just waste all that money, but, like, they don't have anyone else to play third, so they have to get someone else and pay A-Rod $25 million to go away. So I think there's actually a decent chance that we could have, like, the most awkward spring training of all time, which, you know, purely as someone who has to find things to write about, could be fun, although I don't really want to write about A-Rod anymore, like, ever.
And it is funny, too, because it feels there's such a time to make the donuts thing when it comes to A-Rod and everyone that works in sports journalism. It's just like, no one wants to write about him. No one wants to read about him, but everybody has to write about him, and everybody has to read about him. Like, it's weird. I mean, we've seen this, and we work in the world of web. You write about A-Rod, it's generally a pretty popular story, even though they're so exhausted at talking about him. He's indestructible.
No, everyone says they're sick of, you know, hearing about him, but the stories do still do well. That's going to be, I mean, I'm trying to think of a more awkward situation than A-Rod being back to the Yankees next year. I mean, that's going to be just incredibly awkward. But you know what? I think after a few days, everyone will do their, hey, how weird is this stories, and
then yeah.
he'll just be playing, and it'll stop being a thing. But
That is
I don't
a
know.
great.
Also, I don't know. Can he be any good after at that age and after sitting out that long? I mean, he might not be any better than like Kelly Johnson. I don't know.
That is one thing I do love about baseball is that they just have to play every day. Like I was thinking about this with the Cardinals trade for AJ Pierzynski, which is that's what we need, by the way, is for the Cardinals to be a little bit less popular. And
yeah, are you excited about that?
Hey, listen, man, the guy's batting 400 right now. I don't care. They're 2-0 since he got here. It's a secret ingredient.
I can already see how annoying it's going to be if he does well for them. It's going to be the culture of the Cardinals turned him around.
Oh man, that's not what's going to happen. That's not what's going to happen. What's going to happen?
It's not your fault. I don't blame you. but that's what's going to happen.
Oh man, that's true. If he totally behaves and he starts talking about like when you start being around these fans. And you come here, and
exactly. I can already picture it. But I do love that you can still get annoyed with people criticizing the Cardinals because I'm so far past that with the Yankees. Like, people are just like, what a crappy team. I hate them. They're awful. Everybody roots for them is an evil moron. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
But I'm curious. Like, were you like that in 19? I guess no one was really as involved in this media wise back then. But were you like this in 1994? In 1995?
No, I was, yeah. I was totally part of them. You know, I was a teenager and I was, go Yankees, to help everyone else. But at a certain point, I still, I hope they do well, but that's about as far as it goes at this point.
But no, I mean, that's what I mean is that, like, what I'm saying is, it's new to us to be disliked. So we react, repeat as.
Oh, I see.
It's very new. Like, it's a very new thing. And maybe you can call that its own level of smugness that we're very surprised at how disliked we are. But, and that's a fair point. But it's certainly surprising. Like, it's not something we ever, like, I'm assuming if you're a Yankees fan, you've got a couple decades of.
Oh, yeah, no.
We're used
right.
to people hating us. But, like, this is still a very new thing. And so, therefore, there's this sense of. And I'm sure if I had been a Yankee fan in like 1999 and everyone was and this was starting to happen, I would probably do something very similar to what I do as a Cardinal fan, which would be like, hey, listen, guys, like we're just fans like everybody else. Leave us alone.
Right. And I used to do that. So, yes, I understand. But at this point, it's like.
But you're saying in like 10 years, I'll just give in and be like, they hate us. What am I going to do?
Right.
Yeah, great. No, I will always fight. I would always fight for the. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm always gonna fight for the Cardinal way. Cause that's okay. I'm actually trolling myself.
No.
Okay. Now this is my last baseball podcast for probably a few weeks because we're starting to do football crap. I know, right? So we're doing football crap. So because you're my last baseball guest for a while, I need you to actually give me a World Series prediction. I've got you here. You have to do it.
A World Series prediction. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, you know what? Actually, no. We'll get to that in a second. Because I have you here and because I'm looking at the standings right now, I'm actually going to do something worse. I'm going to make you predict playoff teams.
Oh, God.
Okay, so American League East. Who's going to win the AL East?
At this point, I'm gonna go with Baltimore.
Okay. And
Let me see. Okay. Yeah, I just can't. I want to say the Rays, but they are way back.
Yeah, they're pretty far. Okay. They're pretty far. Like, no. One loss, like, derails them at this point.
Yeah. I'm going to very, very reluctantly and without enthusiasm pick the Orioles on that one.
Okay.
Also, Bernhardt's going to kill me because I just absolutely jinxed him. Sorry, John.
In Central, is someone going to catch the Tigers?
No.
Okay. And then A's or Angels winning the West?
I'm still going to say A's.
Okay,
yeah,
so
I think they just built up. They built up too much of a lead.
Okay, so it's fair to say that I think it's probably hard to. It's gonna be pretty hard for the Angels not to win that to at least get the wild
Angels
card.
Yeah, Angels absolutely gonna get the wild card.
So who's the other one?
I'm gonna say Seattle.
Seattle, I would love that. I
that would be fun.
Have you been to Safeco Field?
No, I haven't. We can get there one of these days.
It was great. I saw two games there about 6 or 7 years ago. It was great because I saw a night game and then a day game, so I got to see the roof open one day and not open the next day, which is awesome. It's like seeing two different parks.
Yeah.
So it was really cool. It's really great, and I love Seattle. So I feel like Seattle and Denver are just like theoretically perfect cities. That Seattle, Denver, and San Diego are all the cities that are like, why do we not live there?
We're going to actually go to San Diego in a couple weeks on vacation.
I've not seen that stadium. Have you seen that stadium?
No, I look forward to it.
Yeah, I'm envious. Okay, NL East, who's winning?
In the least, I'm gonna give it to the no, I'm gonna give it to the Nationals. I think the Braves are doing much better than I thought they would with all those injuries they had, but I still a lot. So I'm gonna go
Yeah.
with Nationals.
And okay, NL Central.
Cardinals.
You have more. Everyone's more confident than me on that one.
Well, I've come to learn that like whatever predictions you make, I mean, I'm not any better than anyone else at making these predictions, but like it's, the Cardinals are just a safe bet. They're always there like a bad penny, no matter what happens. And I the Brewers are a fun team. I'm rooting for them, but I don't know. I just don't think they're as strong or as deep.
Yeah, I find it's funny because, as far as rivals in that division go, we hate the Reds. We'll always hate the Reds. The Brewers, Gomez a little dislike, but otherwise we generally like that team. Lucroy is like the definition of likable. I just think that guy's awesome.
Yeah, Lucroy, Gomez, and Hank the dog,
Yeah, of course,
obviously.
of course. But like, I feel like if the Cardinals weren't going to win the division, I want the Pirates to win the World Series. Like I still feel like that
Yeah.
is like speaking of base, like I was imagining like this awesome 70s retro series between like the Pirates and the Orioles. It just seems like it would be the most fun thing.
No, I would love if the Pirates won, but I would be surprised also.
Yes, fair enough.
Although I would pick them. Okay, so I'll say Dodgers for the NL West. And wild card teams, I'll say Atlanta and Pittsburgh.
Atlanta and Pittsburgh. All right, so now you gotta pick your World Series. Who's going to the World Series?
Who is going to the World Series? All right, you know what? I will say we're going to see a Cardinals Angels World Series just because that would be what would crush my spirit the most.
Oh, and I have to say, I'm actually not emotionally ready for that series because
Yeah.
I'm not because like you know I we've kind of made our peace with the Pujols thing a little bit, but we still would like to win a World Series before he does. I'd like to not actually have that happen
Yeah,
right then.
that's fair.
And
That's
we're not
fair.
ready to root against Freeze yet. Like I think if Freeze and Pujols played at, I know this is a shock to you to see that our baseball podcast has turned into a little bit of a discussion of the Cardinals. I'm sorry,
Whoa,
but
that's
I know
crazy.
weird. I know it's out of nowhere. I must have been possessed or something. But I think if Freeze and Pujols played in St. Louis, I think Freeze would get a bigger ovation. I don't think Pujols would be booed, but I think
I
Freeze would
think
get.
Cardinals fans, they would have to, but they have to because otherwise they'll sacrifice their reputation as the best
As
fans. They have to be polite,
listen, I don't. There is a difference
right?
between. Listen,
I'm just needling you.
you guys might see polite and say, "Oh, they're just trying to burnish their reputation as the best fans of baseball," which, if they were doing, would be a lot of trouble to go through. To be like, "Oh, I'm so angry,"
I'm just messing with you,
but we
Will.
have to be smug to East Coasters. So let's. All right, Emma. Thank you for coming on. I'm really glad we got to do this. We miss you. We miss you. But when you see the good work going on, I feel like and I'm not gonna say any specific pieces or specific things, but I feel like I've seen some stuff over at SI. I'm like, I see a little bit of Emma Spann's touch on that thing right there. So
Well, if you liked him, that was definitely me, and if you didn't, then it was somebody else.
then it was Jay.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you, Emma, very much. Now we're gonna I'm gonna say our goodbye here, and then we're gonna pause, and then we get to do trivia. Are you excited for trivia?
So excited.
I can tell. All right, Emma, thanks a lot. Hang with me, and I'll talk you off here, and then we'll do trivia. So thanks, Emma.
All right.
All
Thanks for
right.
having me.
Thank you to Emma Spann. You can follow her on Twitter at Emma Spann, EMMASPAN. This has been the Will Leach Experience Podcast. The music is by the Sundogs. Please rate and review us on iTunes. We will be back tomorrow with part one of our two-part trivia extravaganza. Part two will be on Thursday. We'll be Tuesday and Thursday. We'll be back with Emma. So have a great day and be safe out there.